Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
You know, every time I hear that music, I cannot help but to just break out into air guitar.
Really? I sit here and dance. Isn't that funny?
Oh,
so I was just thinking, though, as I was listening to it, I was just going to ask you, so we're on the same wavelength tonight. This bodes well for the show, Rick.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, are you tired of the music yet? Do you want me to record a new intro?
No, because I'm from Chicago, so naturally I like the blues, so.
And your name's first.
Exactly, and my name is first. Sorry,
because
Karen.
You know that I was going to change that, huh?
Because I'm Rick Hale and you're not.
So, Rick,
yes.
This is kind of a big week for us.
Yes, we have a very big show tonight.
Big show, really big show. It's the big show. Well, big and show. Before we get to our big show guest, we'll give a little sneak peek of what we did on Monday. How about, because that's going to be coming up on an upcoming show. We pre-recorded a show with a kind of a major paranormal TV star. Who was it?
Aaron Goodwin.
That's right. And he was a lot of fun. It's a really great interview, and he gave us some really interesting information, including what's happened to him since he went to Bobby Mackey's. So it's something that people really will want to tune in. I enjoyed Aaron a lot. He's my favorite.
Yeah, I definitely like talking to him. I mean, it seems like the last couple seasons he's sort of more or less cowboyed up, and you know, he seems to be a little bit more into it. And it was definitely a really fun interview. Apparently, yeah. Aaron Goodwin is cougar bait or something.
I just happened to mention to Aaron that middle-aged women kind of like him, and
right.
He seems to know that because he said that when he gets hugs at events, the middle-aged women seem to hold on just a touch longer.
So what was it again? The teenage girls like Zach.
That's right.
And the 20-somethings like Nick, and the old ladies with blue hair like Aaron. Feel sorry for Aaron.
Well, we have another paranormal person on tonight that the ladies seem to like a little bit.
Yeah, including my wife, so, but...
Yeah, you know. What's she like? Does she think he's hot or paranormal hot?
You know, it's the accent. She told me once before that it's the accent. She's, she's Irish herself, so I think it must be in the blood.
Yeah, so you probably have already figured it out. We're going to be talking to Barry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
That's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to talking to Barry because, like your wife, I kind of have a thing for accents.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm letting you lead the show because I'm just going to sort of sit back and listen.
Yeah, I think it's like that roguish Irish accent. If I could pull one off, I would walk around all the time with one of those. You know.
Try it. Go for it. Let's see. Let's hear.
I'm afraid I'm going to come off sounding like, you know, the dude from the serial, you know? Or wait a minute. Oh, Leprechaun from the movie I Want Me Gold.
Oh, the dude from the serial, the Lucky Charms guy, is that who
Lucky
you're talking
Charms?
About?
Yeah. No, the movie Leprechaun too.
No, well, I know that, but when you said the dude from the serial, I sort of had to flip through my, maybe we're not on the same wavelength after all.
Well, I don't want to offend our
yes.
guests, so, you know.
Okay. So, I was going to ask you, it's tomorrow's first day of October.
Yes.
And you have a certain affection for October, I understand.
Well, October is awesome in so many different ways. October 18th is mine and my wife's 8th anniversary.
Sweet.
Yes. And I love Halloween.
I hate it.
What? What are you talking about? How can you hate Halloween? Halloween is like the paranormal investigator's favorite holiday.
Do you know why I don't like Halloween?
Tell me.
Because you send your children out to behave like little beggars asking for candy. We teach our children to beg on Halloween.
You know, my wife was telling me that when her mom was a kid living on the south side of Chicago, that they used to have this thing called Beggar's Night, which was the night before all the trick-or-treating, and they would go from house to house asking for, you know, pre-candy. Now, pre-candy, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, pre-Halloween candy, and I think that that's a fabulous idea. I think we should all do that. Mm. So, yes, I mean, Halloween is the bee's knees, man. I love everything about it. I mean, and I love talking to, like, you know, people who are fundamentalist Christians, like, you know, many people in my family. And I mean, they will straight up tell you that Halloween is the devil's holiday. First off, the Celts didn't even believe in Satan. So there you go. So anything that we know about that happened many, a couple thousand years ago when the church moved into Ireland and was like, you know what? We're going to make this a satanic holiday. And that's kind of where it just stuck. And of course, you know, Halloween is also based off of Saturnalia, which is the kind of like the Roman holiday that's the equivalent of Halloween. But yeah, Halloween is just the tits, man. Sorry.
Well, I think I can actually tell you when I started disliking Halloween. It's too bad that Cheryl doesn't have... Cheryl, do you have any really sad violin music that you can cue up? Because it's a sad story.
I don't. I wish I did. I'm sorry.
We can put on that Tai Chi music that we played at the beginning of the... You know, I was doing my slow Tai Chi moves. Anyway, so here's the deal. When I was a kid, my mother was a warrior.
Oh, go just ahead, kidding.
Put it on. Put it on.
Put it back on. Okay.
When I was a kid, my mother was a kid. And so we would go out and go treating, and she would only let us go to like five or six houses. And then she'd go through all of our candy, and we'd wind up with like one piece of candy. So for weeks after Halloween, all my friends would be coming in with the candy that they had in their giant pillowcases. And I'd have my one piece of candy that my mom would let me have Halloween night. And then anymore.
Oh my God, that's sadder than Charlie Brown getting just a rock.
That's like Willy Wonka sad.
That is. I know. I probably just wasn't hugged enough as a child.
Aww.
I know.
Aww.
I know.
Karen.
Okay. I know. Okay, so let's get back to Happy before we get Barry Fitzgerald on here. Hey, Cheryl.
Yeah
really.
I'm here.
October, she's coming out soon.
It is, yeah. And you want me to give you a little rundown?
I'd like a rundown.
Our pretty cool October issue, we're going to be featuring Dave Considine as the cover story. And he's a demonologist, and we're also going to be talking to him in October on the radio show. So should give you a little preview. Ooh, we're getting a call in. This may be Barry. I'll have to give you guys a preview later. Let's take the call.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Hello,
Barry Fitzgerald.
Hello, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Welcome.
Hey, folks.
We're actually already live on the air. So,
fantastic.
I know. We're excited to talk to you. How about if we let?
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
How about if we let Rick introduce you to our audience, and then we'll get on with it? Sound good?
Sounds absolutely grand.
Great.
Okay. Well, since we're already live on the show, I will do the best that I possibly can. Tonight on Paranormal Underground Radio, we have Mr. Barry Fitzgerald, and he is on Ghost Hunters International on Sci-Fi Channel, and he is also the author of the book, The Complete Approach, with Dustin Parry, not to mention an accent that the chicks seem to dig. Welcome to the show, Barry. How you doing?
I'm doing grand. Thanks very much.
Hey, Barry, I dig your accent. I guess that just makes me fall in line with all of the other chicks, huh?
But I haven't got an accent. You have an accent.
We do. That's right. That's what I hear.
Yes.
You know what,
Barry? I'm from Chicago, and they're always making fun of me, you know, because we always go into the Jewels or the Walmarts or the this and that and the De Bears and all that. So, you know, I don't feel so bad.
No, it's grand. It's grand. No worries.
I have to tell you that when we ask people who they want us to talk to, more often than not, you're the number one person that we get requested. So this is really cool that you're with us. I'm really excited about it. I've been a fan since the very first Ghost Hunters-ish episode with, was it Lepcastle? Is that what it was?
Lep Castle, that's right, yes. The guys came across and met the elemental.
Right, right. So yeah. Can you give me an actual definition of what an elemental is?
An elemental is part of the whole earth spirit realm. It really, there is a scale from the bottom right to the top, and they come in around three quarters of the way up. They're a very unusual thing, I have to say. That specific one, of course, is extremely temperamental. You could live with it for years and years, and everything would be fine. But the moment that you piss it off, forgive my language, of course, is the moment whenever it comes out and really does put its boot square in your ass.
So you know, Barry, there was not... something that I know.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, Barry, there was something that I noticed on the show too. You seem to be pretty terrified about, you know, ticking the gentry off, or, you know, that's what I know, that's what you guys over in Ireland call it. Over here we would call them fairies. You seem to be kind of afraid of ticking them off. Are you still a believer in the old ways?
The old ways still exist in Europe, not only in Ireland. You can see evidence of this, of course, throughout Scandinavia. Norway, Sweden, Finland, and of course into Iceland, and down into Ireland. But it's not only there, of course. We've found, on my travels, of course, within GHI, I've discovered many countries, Peru, for instance, and the US, who have similar tales of sightings and people. Unfortunately, stumbling across some of these to some of their a lot of problems, of course, ensued following that, because they weren't quite sure what on earth it was they were dealing with. Back in Ireland, of course, there is a latent layer of respect for those types of things. We don't get involved too much. For the most part, they're recognized and left alone. Partly because they don't fall into the realm of ghosts, they've, of course, there are countless tales of destruction should you annoy them. So it's best to just give them a wide berth, and that's how I tend to treat them. I give them their respect, and I move on with my life, and leave them to theirs.
Well, I've read many stories about building homes in the path of in a fairy path, and they sound like almost legitimate stories to me, that the gentry come through and the next thing you know their house is completely destroyed. I mean, do you think that there's a lot of legitimacy to those stories?
There is indeed. The house itself, Seaforth, otherwise known as Lachine, where the guys, of course, I introduced them to that whole aspect as well. That huge house was shaken in its foundations. Because, of course, just like you said, they had built, they assumed that they were better and they could deal with everything, and they built their house on the path that they shouldn't have built on. It was destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, I come from a family that's real heavily Irish, and I get kind of a funny story, and I hope it doesn't offend you, but my grandfather used to tell us a story when I was a kid about catching a leprechaun. He was a little boy, and he said that he was outside fishing by the river, and he looks over and there's this little dude standing by the tree, and he's able to capture him. Well, what happens is he's trying to get him to go and take his gold. And the leprechaun tricks him and steals his clothes, and he actually goes home naked, and his mom, who was from Northern Ireland, I don't think it was Northern Ireland at the time, though, actually told him, "I told you a million times, William, don't mess with the wee folk."
Yeah.
So are you familiar with those kind of stories?
Oh yeah. Even in my own hometown, of course, there was a particular piece of land that was known to belong to them. And people wouldn't simply walk down there at night. They left it alone. I know even today, I see huge farms with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of machinery, which will tear up fields to plant new seed. They have a little tiny deranged tree in the middle of the field, which would, if anyone else was there in any other part of the world, it would be torn out. But this is associated with the fae, and this tree stays. They will plow around that small tree. We make roads, and we will make the road around the tree, so not to annoy anyone.
Right. Well, we have that here in the States and Hawaii with the Menehune, so.
Well, I was just going to ask, do you think that we don't have that in the United States, or do you think we don't notice and pay attention to that in the United States?
Oh, you actually do have it. And what I'd be referring to, of course, would be the fae itself. You do have particular subspecies of them within the U.S., and many people have come across them. However, a lot of these things you will not find in the city. And what I notice whenever I travel to the U.S. is that, for instance, if I leave home back in Ireland, within 3 minutes, I'm in the countryside. But in America, the urban spread goes for vast distances.
Oh, yeah.
And, I was in Los Angeles, and I thought to myself, oh, it'd be nice if I went for a drive in the country. 1 hour later, I was still driving, and I was still in the suburbs. I couldn't believe it. People that I have been talking to in the U.S. who have these encounters are experiencing them whenever they're walking, whenever they're out in the country, or in the woods, of course, and that's whenever these things happen. But we live in a society now which of course is getting quicker and quicker and quicker. We have no more time to just simply walk down to the store. We jump into a car. And we drive down. Everything is moving faster and faster and faster. We actually don't see what's around us anymore. And that's whenever the fae were seen their most, is whenever people were walking, whenever people were just taking their time. That's whenever they started to notice these things. But, of course, nowadays there's a drop-off in eyewitnesses because we just simply don't have the time anymore to be in the country, to be walking with nature. These things are just overlooked.
Say, I could not agree more with that. It almost seems like in this country, in the United States, and in most of the world, people aren't happy unless they're making our world smaller than what it really is.
Well, that's the thing. Modern society has led us down a path where we believe we know it all. What we see is what we get. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest lie of all. Because what we see, if we put it into purely a biological aspect, what we see in the electromagnetic frame and the electromagnetic scale is a hair's breadth, literally, is a hair's breadth of a scale that will extend 93 million miles.
Right.
Now, what our appreciation of that is truly embarrassing, and even within ghost hunting, we expect ghosts to appear within that little band of spectrum that we see between reds and violets,
right?
And it just simply doesn't happen that way. Our perception of the universe is increasingly flawed. Mm-hmm. It's now been discovered that now the scientists are theorizing that our universe is made up of 70% dark energy, and 25% dark matter, and 5%, only 5%, is what we can see, touch, smell, and of course use specialized equipment to understand our universe. Right. These experts before that came along to say that they were pretty confident of what the universe was, have now been seen to be 95% wrong. Mm-hmm. It's it's huge numbers, and our perception of the world is just so minute that we just don't understand what else is out there because we simply can't see it. We just, our senses aren't equipped to fully understand the world and universe around us.
Right.
Well, I agree with you, but I do have a question about the faith that you say are in the United States, because I do live in the country, and mm-hmm. I do spend a lot of time out walking around, mm-hmm. albeit usually with dogs. But mm-hmm. what should I keep my eye out for? What do I look for? What do I notice?
It really just depends. I can walk through Ireland for years and years and not have a bother. But there are specific locations that I can go to in Ireland, and even here in Austria, there are certain places that I can go that you know that you shouldn't be there. There are places in Ireland that I'm aware I could go during the day, and bring a good book and just simply read, and it's a wonderful, wonderful location. However, I know I shouldn't be there at night, mm-hmm. because of course that's their time. Of course I did go at night. I had to see what would happen. And there were bizarre things that occurred. Whenever I was back in Ireland, of course, I had this wonderful animal. It was an Alaskan wolf, and she was absolutely fantastic. But of course, her mind was set on hunting for rabbits or whatever she was looking for. Mm-hmm. But even she got frightened, and she hugged. She stayed close and hugged my leg as she watched this thing moving around, circling us. You know, we shouldn't have been there at night. It's their place. And I had to recognize that, and I had to identify that. And I understand that. But, of course, natural curiosity brought me back. Say, right, well, what would happen if I did go? So I went. There are certain locations that you go to that, even within Native American cultures, they have identified there are places that are sacred that you just simply shouldn't go. And it's those places, of course, that tend to hide a lot. Forests are absolutely wonderful, and natural forests. You would find quite a few in there, you just have to be. You have to keep your wits around you. And of course, another thing is while we're walking, don't listen to the iPod. We continually stick things in our ears, and we're taken away to some false reality. Listen to what's around you. Every right. forest in the world sings a different tune, and it's amazing to hear that. I don't mean as in a tune as in what we would hear in the radio. I mean the way the wind blows through the trees and everything, it sounds different. And whenever you travel, you get to understand this. It's listening to those noises. It's understanding what else is going on within nature that you just simply wouldn't have noticed before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, Barry, let's talk about your time on GHI. It's a really great show. I really, I'm really digging on it. In fact, I just got the second part of season one on DVD the other day. I watched it when I was when I was at work. And you guys, in my opinion, let me go with this way. Your role on the show seems to be that of the elder statesman. Because you seem to be the guy who has really dedicated your entire life to mm-hmm. To the investigation as well as the research of the paranormal. Yep. And mm-hmm. Do you find yourself really taking that role, answering the questions of your fellow investigators, and being the one who mostly theorizes on the show? Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as being that way?
I think to call myself an expert, I would be lying.
I don't mean that at all.
Yeah. really no one in this field is an expert, because I'm continually learning. Right. And within GHI, it is good that we have great minds there that we can move things around and of course theorize as well as to what could possibly be going on. And having a base of knowledge behind you as well, of course, is vital, because other people have also dedicated their lives to it, to understanding what's going on. Having that knowledge and not having to go through the same work, wasting our time doing that, we can understand, this experiment was tried back in, say, 1945, and this was the results. Having that knowledge is good. And of course, some of that knowledge is brought through into GHI. Of course, networking as well is vital. I find that that people from all over the world do wonderful research into this. And in fact, the Singapore theory, which I've used multiple times now in the show, was a theory derived from a team based in Singapore. That wasn't my theory. I never claimed it to be my theory, but I wanted to dedicate the theory and reflect it back to them. Hence, it became known as the Singapore theory, because this team was based in Singapore.
Going back to, I'm sure that this is something that you've been doing your entire life. What was there, and I know this sounds kind of strange coming from a country that is well known for being extremely haunted. Was there any one situation that was like, that just completely wowed your brain and, made you wanted to look into all this?
I think over the course of my life, there were many instances where that would have occurred. Mm-hmm. I was working with a case back in Northern Ireland. It was a young girl that was murdered. The case still stays open. It's remained open because they haven't been able to capture the guy that did it, mm-hmm. or at least prove who did it. She was repeatedly seen at this location. Now, of course, whenever we took up that that torch to see right what's going on here because of the many reports, what I wasn't expecting was for the child to appear, and of course lead us to the area where she was murdered, what was done to her, and where she was put into the water. Mm-hmm. That really stood out. In fact, I remember diligently writing down notes to put forward into some type of publication. That particular piece was called Silent Screams, because she was literally screaming at the location and no one could hear her. Yeah. It was very sad, very sad. But she won't move. She will not budge until he's caught. I tried working with some of the local police authorities, but of course it fell on deaf ears, and it became quite difficult for us, and we had to take a step back. The case still remains open, even though we were able to withdraw a name from the site, that may lead to further investigation, things like that. But no one was interested.
Yeah, I have a similar case with the group that I belong to. She was a young girl in her 20s, and it took place back in the 1920s, in fact. And it seems that there, was a great deal of conspiracy involved. And one of the mediums that we work with, her name's Nancy Laporta. She is she's fantastic. I'm very skeptical when it comes to mediums, but she's the legitimate real deal. And the spirit is, her name's Frida. She's always coming to her and speaking to her, and it's very similar. The people that you know, allegedly, you know, supposedly murdered her were never caught because they were the most powerful people in this town. So, you know, there's you know, quite a similar thing there between that case that you were always thinking about and I'm always thinking about this case as well.
It certainly is. And of course, you know, thinking about mediums as well, you know, you're right to be skeptical as well, because there seems to be a lot of people jumping onto this bandwagon of mediumship. And of course, cold reading and things you got are big players here. However, there are some true mediums out there that have a great and fantastic talent.
Right. Well, I think,
but really, looking at it from the biology of the human body and understanding what's going on within the body, there are particular minerals out there that can enhance the experience and promote it. And there are also minerals out there that will subdue it. So going into an investigation, understanding those is vital, and certainly from a team, for instance, that do use psychics. Going into an investigation, I recently discovered, and of course, you know, we all chat and we all love to joke around, everything seems to be in good humor going into an investigation. But if you go into that investigation with a huge amount of refined sugar, such as these branded soda drinks and various different candies, that can inhibit our flight or fight response. That can actually hinder the body's ability to determine the true nature of that spirit. So that, you know, being aware of those particular things is vital during an investigation, and understanding that, you know, you're opening yourself up to some problems as well. A lot of people have asked me, well, what do I do before I go into an investigation? Do I pray? Do I bless myself? Do I whatever? To be honest, I never really found any of that worked for me. And I also have to say that
sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. Ignore that.
Okay. I also have to say that now where the hell was my train of thought? Now it's gone.
You were talking about what to do prior to an investigation. You were answering.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Going into the investigation, For me to sit down with say I had guides or whatever, and ask them for protection, that withdrew me partially from the investigation itself to understand what was going on. And occasions I had to put my neck on the line to understand what truly was going on in the investigation, so that I could give a good, plausible explanation and solution. Because I had to experience it myself. So by going in there and saying, you know, you wanted whoever to look after you, it's good. Don't get me wrong, that's grand. But in my opinion and in my experience, I found that it robbed me from part of that experience, from the investigation, of course, to give that ultimate solution.
Hey, Barry, we have a call from Jenny. She'd like to ask you a question. Are you prepared to take a question?
Of course.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Hey, Barry, you rock, by the way. I just got to say that
Thank you very much, Jenny.
You know, no problem. I have a couple questions. They're kind of simple. What was your favorite place you guys investigated on GHI?
Oh, the favorite place? The one that really stands out for me certainly is the Wolf's Lair. Hitler's Eastern Command Post in Poland. I have to say that of a lot of the places that we've been at, that one really stands out because it is naturally creepy at night. I usually find that I would throw a camera over my back and go and take photographs at night because I love the star line and the way that the light falls onto the buildings and things like that. But I have to say that I got 400 yards into that base. I was on my own. It was pitch dark. And I stopped and thought, no. And I turned and went back again. That place is naturally creepy. And it really, if you ever want to feel as if you're walking in history, that's it. That place is truly amazing. And to be able to have the opportunity, of course, to stand in those bunkers that regime had built was just it was just mind blowing.
That's awesome. That kind of goes along then with my second part of my question. Is you said that was a really creepy place. So would that be one of your most scariest experiences you've ever had?
Oh no, I would have to say that. One of the places that I said that I wouldn't like the idea of going back to was Clark Air Force Base. There was something in the basement of that hospital that was way off. Something was very, very wrong, and I couldn't put my finger on it. But to describe it in a way that you may understand, it was, for Dustin and I, it was like standing in a living hell. Something was really wrong, and we just simply couldn't put our fingers on it. And for the cameraman that I had, he's a great guy, and he didn't understand what I meant by saying we need to get out of here, because he just didn't get it. He was wondering why, and then suddenly, he heard the things coming toward him, and he started to shake. And Dustin and I were literally back to back. In that investigation, there was nothing to see, but there was a lot going on around us that our bodies were very aware of and getting us ready. And that is a place that I said I don't want to be open to again.
Yeah. I can't imagine. So, have any of those experiences made you want to quit doing what you do?
Oh no. that makes me stick my heels in even deeper. I've had calls from a lot of people who deal with these night attacks, with these entities that come in and do a lot of things to them in their beds. And I've dealt with them myself, of course. Again, it refers back to the fact that I needed to experience that myself to understand what was truly going on. And having fought that particular type of entity on several occasions in different parts of the world, I have to say that there is something more to that than meets the eye. Certainly Dustin and I are working on a new publication in the future which deals with part of this. We're looking forward to working with some sleep clinics across the globe that will help us further this investigation.
Oh, interesting.
That's outstanding. Sleep paralysis is definitely a lot more common than what some people may think. And I'm with you on that, Barry. I think that with a lot of it, there may be a spiritual dimension to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There certainly is, and of course, the big thing, of course, is there a weight that holds people down? Is it a physical weight? We just simply don't know. These things need to be tested, and understand what's going on. But having seen the thing myself, having heard it, I have to say that there is more to this than meets the eye. It's not just something that you can try and understand in a lab. It is very easy for someone to make that call to say, oh, well, it's just a hallucination. It's something as you sleep. No, having experienced it myself, being a researcher, I understand, no, there is more to this than meets the eye.
Right. Well, when I was 18 years old, I think it was like my very first investigation that I had ever been on. And I remember I got... when I was called into the room by the young girl who was experiencing these, you know, maybe inhuman entities or whatever, when I went in that room, I mean, the cold was unbelievable. And as I'm standing there and, you know, provoking this spirit or spirits, I actually had one of these SOBs appear right before me, this big black mass, and shoved me right on my butt. So I can tell people that these things are definitely real.
Oh, they absolutely are. I've been involved in a case over in Washington where it went through the entire hotel complex. The apartment complex. And because people weren't communicating, neighbors weren't talking to neighbors, the neighbors were recycling all the time. And the communication wasn't getting across that there was something going on in the apartment which needed to be investigated. It was only whenever I was called in that we discovered it.
Yeah.
In Washington, Washington D.C., Washington State, or Washington somewhere else?
Washington State.
Oh, well, I live in Washington State. Where in Washington was it?
Unfortunately, I can't say because they needed to obviously the apartment owners wanted to keep it quiet. But I can tell you this, it still continues.
Huh, interesting. Wow. Interesting. Well, I just kind of meant Western or Eastern Washington or, you know, Seattle region.
Oh, right. Western
Washington. Oh, see, that's in my neck. That's in my neck of the woods, definitely. So, well, I know that you've been. I actually know that you've been to Washington State more than once because you also did some. You went on an investigation in the Seattle Underground, didn't you?
That's right. Yes, I met great groups of people over there. Everywhere I go, I try and meet up with different teams. Again, the networking thing is vital as well. Keeping lines of communication open, we talk different tech and theorize with different advances within the field. And that was one of those teams, and certainly, and I got the opportunity, of course, to go to the underground.
Yeah. Well, networking, I agree. Networking is really, really important. So I had a question for you, because what I find is that, like, when my husband and I investigate together, he never senses or experiences or feels anything. He's had a few things happen mechanically that made him believe that places can be haunted and that ghosts exist. But I seem to be messed with wherever I go. So what's the difference? Why is it that some people tend to get more activity than others?
That's a twofold question. Because there is a makeup of the person itself that can be called into question here. Because as I said, there's various different minerals and chemicals that if enhanced, of course, within our biology, helps the body pick up on paranormal phenomenon. But of course, within the world of metaphysics, a bright light attracts flies. So it's something to keep in mind, of course. It's just one of those things, and we're not all the same. Many people will experience one thing, and others experience nothing at all. It's just the way that we're made up. As I say, we're not all equal.
Right. Hey, when you said bright light, it reminded me of something. Do you know who Marcus Leader is, Barry?
The what?
Do you know who Marcus Leader is? He's developed a couple of pieces of equipment. Cheryl, can you pop on and help me with what they are? Because they're beryllium, copper, or there's some. One of them is a microphone, and one of them is this light. And it's been. Cheryl, can you pop on and remind me of the names of Marcus Leader's pieces of equipment?
His piece. Oh, gosh, now I'm blanking. On the spot here. What were they?
Beryllium. It's a beryllium microphone.
Hang on.
That picks up EVPs like really amazingly. And then there's another one that's like a light that a lot of people have used that seem to attract spirits to it. So when you said that, I thought of what Marcus has done, and I wondered if you knew anything about that.
I haven't. That's really the first time that I've heard of this guy. I certainly wouldn't mind finding out more of his work. You know, within this field, there are thousands of names popping up all the time, so it's quite hard to keep on top of everybody.
Yeah.
But certainly I wouldn't mind seeing or reading on the theories behind his work.
We'll send you information about him when we're done talking. Great. To you. I'll have Rick get in contact with his information.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry. Oh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we have a bunch of questions from the chat room, but I have to find them all. So go ahead and ask yours while I find chat room questions.
I just wanted to ask this of you real quick, Barry. I've always been curious about this. It seems that there are some differences between how the paranormal is investigated over in, you know, say, your neck of the woods than it is over here in ours. Can you, you know, maybe explain this to me as well as, you know, some listeners who may have the same curiosity? How does it differ?
I find that the older ones tend to be more cranky. But for whatever reasons why they haven't passed over, I just simply can only speculate. But from my experience, I have found that certainly some of the older ones can be more troublesome than the fresh ones. And with obviously from a European perspective, you know, our history goes back some time. For instance, if we consider building a house, something simple as building a house, 3,500 years ago, we were still sacrificing people to be put into the foundations of the building. Right. Because it was believed their spirits, of course, would guard the property. The practice of sacrifices within the properties were carried right up into the 20th century within Europe. I don't mean human sacrifice; I mean animals. Of course, were placed into different locations within properties to ward off evil spirits and things like that, which is something that you tend not to see within the U.S. It's a relatively young country, and its history is still developing. But in Europe, you know, we've come through some hard times. There have been thousands of years of war and things like that, and that tends to add up. You know, you get that layer effect, which can cause some trouble sometimes.
Okay.
So I have a question from Jamie in our chat room, Barry, and what she wants to know is, what type of equipment you like working with?
Well, there's a new range of technology out there that I'm an avid supporter of, and it's the third generation video camera, full spectrum technology, and it has been showing some very promising footage, and doesn't interfere with the manifestation of the spirit. It's a non-obtrusive camera, really helps you capture that those shadow figures and things like that. Where before, of course, with IR, you were simply blowing them out, and of course, was interfering with the manifestation. The new technology is there now. We're starting to capture things, and not only the shadow, the shadows. There are other things happening there that we just simply had no idea about. We were being told these were happening within the seance rooms of old Victorian eras, but yet we couldn't see them. Now we're seeing them, and it's really opening up new doors, new possibilities. But of course, equally, now we're asking more questions.
Okay, hang on. Go ahead and Rick, ask another question while I look for another chat room question.
Oh, okay.
I'm having to do lots of scrolling. My fingers are my fingers are tired.
All right, well, let me ask you, Barry. With you bring up the old, you know, seance rooms, and you know, of course, you know, tied in directly to the old spiritualist movement. Do you think that with this new fascination that people are having today with the paranormal, do you think that this is almost kind of a new spiritual, more or less?
Sorry, can you just ask me that question again? It just cut out there.
Oh, that no. Do you think that what we are experiencing today with people's fascination with the paranormal is kind of like a new or neo-spiritualism?
I don't think so. I certainly see having attended several of the old style seances for investigative purposes. Mm-hmm. I have to say that is distinctly different. Okay. The old practices within the seance room are extremely extremely different to what we're seeing today. The activity, of course, is very different as well. Mm-hmm. And even within the old seance room, you know, you still had a lot of charlatans. There was a lot of trickery. However, there were still some true seances. I've been in a seance where the table itself was turned upside down, mm-hmm. And was lifted up and was circling above my head. You know, the bizarrest of things were going on within those rooms. Of course, I'm told that this is spirit trying to prove itself to me. And I have to say, it was probably being quite successful in doing that. The development and the push for the development of these new cameras, which were non-obtrusive, came from my experiences within these rooms, because they wouldn't allow regular night vision cameras and things like that because it was interfering with the manifestation. So the new design of cameras were made so that we could see into the darkness without actually creating any extra light that would interfere with anything.
Mm-hmm. We have a question for you from the chat room, and it's about the changes within GHI. You guys seem mm-hmm. to change out members, you know, cast members, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. quite a bit. Why exactly is that?
Well, I know that a lot of travel, it sounds wonderful sitting at home having to go out to all these different locations. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you an instance of one of my travel times. Is I leave Vienna and I would travel to Dubai. Mm-hmm. Dubai to Malaysia. Malaysia to Tokyo.
That's
Tokyo,
a lot of time on an airplane.
Chicago, Kansas to Dallas to Miami to Costa Rica to Madrid, and Madrid to Vienna. That was the first time that I'd ever flew the entire globe in one run. So there is a lot of stress, of course, with travel. Within that, you don't get to see family. You have to be able to switch off. And the family also have to be able to switch off. And sometimes it's difficult for folks, and they miss family. I know Dustin is a fantastic family man, and I have the greatest of respect for Dustin. I never really seen anyone just as devoted to his family as what Dustin is. He missed them greatly. It was taking its toll. I see this with other folks as well that want to start families and of course are in great relationships, but with the time away that we do travel, it can be quite debilitating.
How long do you generally spend at a location?
We would tend to go maybe 4 to 5 weeks at a time filming. And each episode, of course, takes 2 weeks to film.
Wow!
Wow, you longer know, than I thought. So, how long how long are you away from home then during a season?
I remember Ireland. I think it was last year or maybe the year before. I was in Ireland 4 weeks of that year.
Whoa. Wow! That's a lot longer than I thought, given the length of your seasons. So.
It certainly is, yeah. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to film. But, of course, within that, we do have some opportunities to go and see the country itself that we're visiting. Mm-hmm. We were recently in Central America. and we were down in Nicaragua, and our equipment was held up in customs for over a week, so that pushed our schedule back, and so we were just waiting around. And of course, then we took the opportunity to go on and see and hike up one of the local volcanoes, which is something you don't get to do every day. And of course, mix it in with a lot of other activities, which is just simply, you know, things that you simply wouldn't have the opportunity to do. It's one of those once in a lifetime gigs, and certainly I tend to make the most of it by visiting and experiencing as much as I can.
Right. Hey, Barry, Gavin in to know if there's any equipment that you think is just absolutely fraudulent that you wouldn't use.
What was that question again?
He wants to know if there's any equipment that you find to be fraudulent equipment that you just wouldn't use on an investigation.
There are many, many types of equipment, pieces of equipment. I know that recent research has come forward from Europe that stated one particular piece of equipment that measures EMF as being the worst of the worst. I tend to stay away from it. But there are many different pieces. You know, what we tended to see was a lot of equipment which was given a new face. It was the same old trash going around, which pushed the investigative field into this stagnant pool for over 20 years. And it was just being reboxed and shipped out again. And a lot of these devices, okay, you know, they're checking for man-made signals. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to check if those signals are there. But really, in the great scheme of things, as a haunting, you know, it'd be okay if you're being haunted by an old washing machine or TV, but no real use within the paranormal field. You know, you have to understand that the human body itself presents a small, weak DC field. Why we assume then that spirit would appear in a man-made signal, of course, is another thing entirely.
So, we need to go to break for a few minutes, Barry. Can you stick around for another segment?
I'm sure I can. I have nothing else to do. The sun will be up here in another hour and a half, so I'm sure I could keep talking for that length of time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
All right.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Thank you. expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Hey, and we're back with Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International. Thanks for sticking around, Barry.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I think our listeners are really enjoying hearing what you have to say. So our publisher, Chad Wilson, actually has a few questions for you. He's been
Is this Chad of the Paranormal Underground Network magazine?
That would be him. And I think he's in the middle of reading your book, so he's probably been keeping a list.
Grand.
It's nice to talk to you, Barry.
You too, Chad.
Yeah. Actually, I've been reading it for a while. I just have went away from it for a while, and I'm actually just now getting back into it. And I had read your theory about UV light, which I found very interesting. And I don't know if you could explain that.
What we're seeing now, of course, the developments within the field is that a lot of the entities themselves seem to be coming from the higher end of the EM bands. For years we have been looking for entities in the IR ranges, through some mistakes, we discovered that a lot of these things were happening actually on the other side of the spectrum, and the other side of what we can see and appreciate. These white mists, for instance, every castle in Europe, for God's sake, has a teal of a white lady. But really what this is as the spirit starts to materialize, it starts to reflect that UV, and it becomes fluorescent. Of course, in those early stages, we just don't know whether it's male or whether it was male or female. But of course, the romanticism comes from some of this, and we get the stories of white ladies. But what seemed to be happening is that within the flash units of the cameras, in the early 35 millimeters, was that the flash was exciting the material that was being used to materialize, and that was causing the fluorescence. The particles were getting excited, and of course expelling the light, and that was by the film. It was too quick for us to see it with our own eyes. Of course, it's just milliseconds of a flash. But it was enough for the pictures to be caught. However, what we discovered is that the moment that we applied the UV stimulus, the activity immediately backed off to a point where it wouldn't come back again for the rest of the investigation. So we discovered that what we were looking for may actually lie in the UV bands, but we couldn't supply that UV stimulus because it was interfering with that materialization. So therefore, that became extremely tricky and took years of development to finally try and develop technology that would see activity within those higher ranges without damaging, of course, the investigation. Now we're in that position. Now we're starting to see that. It is quite amazing what we are seeing. But, to understand, if you have a house which is being plagued by activity, for instance, maybe some of the kids are being harmed or whatever, that these black lights, could be applied only for a short time, of course, but it creates a safe room. It created a room in which the entity would not enter.
Okay.
I have been in some investigations where they will try and destroy the black light itself, to get that light out so that it can do what it needs to do, it can be quite challenging, of course. But of course, it creates a safe room, but it doesn't fix the problem. The problem actually needs to be fixed. And that's a big thing these days, in that we have multiple teams going out there a lot of them for the thrill of investigation. Mm-hmm. They actually don't know what to do after that. You know, what's the follow-up? How do you actually get rid of it and give the family some salt, some peace?
Well, I have a question related to that. Do you think ultimately, when it comes down to it, that we have the authority to tell these things to leave?
It comes down onto your own personal faith, your own personal strength. I know that we call in the church and things to get, and we will see this huge crucifix being wielded around.
Yeah.
The power actually doesn't lie in the crucifix itself as an inanimate object. The power comes from the faith being wielded behind it. It's the strength of the person that really carries through here.
Okay.
And the belief of the person. You know, nowadays we're seeing a collapse of that particular thing within the church exorcisms, and I begin to wonder, well, is this a reflection of the belief and strength of the person carrying out the exorcism more than anything else? But of course there's other elements there as well that have to be addressed, because a lot of people in the house may not want this particular entity in there, but it just takes someone to open that door. Yeah. And let it back in again. And so, you know, we could do exorcisms until the cows come home. But at the end of the day, unless the family are united and don't want it back, it really opens the door for these things to just wander straight back in again.
Well, do you think basically it starts as something small, and then maybe somebody tries to make contact with whatever it might be, and then it just basically escalates from that point?
It truly is. You need to understand what you're getting yourself into, that's the big thing. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, I want to start up my team, but what do you advise? And I say, well, what experience do you have? Very little. You know, get out there, read as much as possible. Other people have gone before you for hundreds of years and have written up publications after publication after publication. Get that knowledge base behind you first before you lift any tri-field, before you lift any recording device. Get a knowledge base first. Know what you're stepping into and obviously, ultimately, know how to fix it.
Well, go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, that's always a problem that I've had with a lot of these folks who go into this stuff, Barry, is that they neither know nor understand what kind of power they could possibly be dealing with. Yeah. Are you dealing with something that is, you know, just basically a human entity that, you know, needs a little help finding out what the hell happened to it, where it needs to go next? Or are you dealing with something that is pure evil? I'm not necessarily using the term demonic because I don't really consider myself a Christian. But, you know, I think that a lot of people, they think that, oh, my God, this is so thrilling. I'm going to go out. I'm going to see something unknown. And then they wind up getting themselves into something that could potentially destroy, you know, not only their lives, but their very souls.
There is a danger to that, obviously. A lot of people do this and never have an experience such as that. However, there are unfortunate folks out there that do end up getting mixed up in things that ultimately, yes, do destroy them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people out there would say, oh, well, this whole thing of demonics and these dark entities, they don't exist. Mm-hmm. And of course, my response to that is, well, if you go to India and you walk into the jungle, if you don't see a tiger, it doesn't mean it's not there.
Right.
You know, that particular mindset carries me through as well. And, you know, don't get taken in by the first clue that this entity gives you. Re-ask that question. Make sure you know and you're confident what you're dealing with. And the true identity of this particular entity. Treachery and trickery, of course, are a big thing. The moment that we open our door and let that inside, that's it. It's gone. You have to know what you're dealing with.
And certainly for those, the more negative ones, I have found that they love to betray themselves as children. And that's the moment right. that we open up, we become weak, and we say, oh, it's just a child. And second guess that. Always second guess. Re-question, re-examine it. Only whenever you're satisfied, fully satisfied, then okay, it's safe to proceed.
Well, if you have no, you know, discernment, which is where I think that a legitimate medium can really come mm-hmm. into play, although they can mm-hmm. be fooled as well.
Oh, they can indeed, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. If you have no real discernment, you could easily be taken in. Like you said, you could easily be taken in, and the next thing you know, man, you got, you know, the television flying at your head and things choking you in the middle of the night, and all this you thought started out as this friendly little girl ghost who all she wanted to do was play with your kids' toys.
And that's why you need to read my next publication, The Influence, out in November.
Oh, Barry, I see that you're big on shameless self-promotion. Very good.
We love shameless self-promotion.
I knew I liked you, Barry.
I will read it, Barry, because it actually sounds interesting. You know, we've had a what we think is a child spirit who's followed us home and sort of hung out around our house. So now I'm definitely going to have to read your new book. It's coming out in November, you say?
Out in November. I'm trying to get it pushed through as an ebook as well, for those iPads and iPhones and everything else. We'll see how that comes off. I'm still battling, of course, trying to get that through. It is written and all, it's completed. Of course, we're just in the last stages of getting things organized.
Right. Well, since we're doing shameless self-promotion here, I would just like to say, read my book when it comes out, The Geek's Guide to the Paranormal, Ghosts, Poltergeists, and Demons.
Okay, or mine, Avalanche of Spirits and Ghosts of Wellington, which is available now at Amazon.com.
Barry, there we go.
Tell me the name of your book one more time, since we've named ours.
The Influence.
The Influence. Great. Okay. So, Barry, since you were talking about the effect of black lights, I have a question for you about lasers. Do you think that lasers have any kind of an effect?
The lasers themselves tend to fall into specific light frequencies that we can understand, that we can work with. Red lasers, of course, within metaphysics and things like that, red was always a color that it was assumed and that spirits could materialize in. It helped during that time. And, of course, red is also superb for using in flashlights while during your investigation because, number one, it helps with that area of materialization. And, number two, it doesn't destroy your night vision. So it had that wonderful combination. There are some lasers out there, of course, which are just too intense, should be pulled back on a little bit. Subtle lights work much better than these huge flashlights that would light up the surface of the moon. Subtlety, that's the big thing. Be subtle and watch for those subtle changes. That's the key.
Okay, cool. So let me see if we have any. Go ahead and ask Chad, were you done, or do you have more questions?
I'm pretty much done. I appreciate you answering my questions, though, Barry.
You're very welcome, Chad, and keep up the good work.
Okay.
So I did have one other question from the chat room, and Bert and Jamie both wanted to know what you think about Ouija boards and other tools like that.
The Ouija board itself, it's a very tricky piece. Everything seems light and airy around it first of all, and then it starts to become dark, and there seems to be a sinister side comes out from it. But of course, this is also a reflection of the human spirit, I suppose. We don't have to dig too deep to find some of those dark elements to it. But within that, the Ouija board itself, in the proper hands, can be a good tool. However, I find it a very blunt tool. It's like trying to sculpt a piece of glass with two hammers. Within the wrong hands, it can lead to a complete disaster. And we see that countless times. We hear the horror stories of things going wrong with these particular boards. So I tend to give them a wide berth. Mm. I have, of course, tried to understand the board. I've linked the boards up to many different probes and everything else to try and figure out how the board actually works, what was going on, and nothing was working. It just simply wouldn't react. Whenever the experiment was concluded, I just happened to glance up at the other investigators, and in the mirror there was a guy. Well, I say a guy, and I use that term loosely. There was a thing in the mirror that was standing, mm-hmm. watching what we were doing directly behind us. And I immediately swung around to look at it, and it was gone. And I knew whatever it was connected with that damn board. Wow. But it wasn't releasing any of its secrets.
Hmm. Wow. So, Barry, somebody wanted to know what your ideal investigation is. If you could go anywhere and have as much time as you wanted, where would you want to investigate?
Well, my biggest thing, my biggest drive, I think if I was to have this investigation, I think I would retire happy. And it would be to dive on the Titanic and investigate there.
Yeah.
You know, 1,500 souls went down with that ship, and of course 1,200 bodies were never recovered. And speaking to some of the submariners, they've told me some of the stories, and that's whenever I became interested. Said, "Oh, really?" You know, the fact that their hair raises on the back of their necks before they even see the ship and the lights, they know that they're getting close. And the moment that I heard that, I realized there's stuff going on down there. And what's more important is that we don't have to be outside to get in touch with them, because whatever is going on seems to reach right into the subs themselves. And I would love to investigate it. Of course, it was built in Northern Ireland, so it has a great place in my heart. unfortunately, of course, the English were extremely jealous about it and sank it on us.
They were the ones that sent the iceberg.
Right. Go ahead, Barry.
No, it's okay. Go on ahead. Go ahead.
Well, as you were talking about the underwater, being underwater and the ghosts of the Titanic, it brought to mind a question. There's a theory that ghosts can't cross water. Do you give that any credence, or do you think that's just not true?
No, I don't think that's true at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. That's good to know. So, hey, Barry, mm-hmm. Will you do me a big favor?
Yes.
Will you let us use your voice for a promo? Would you just say right now on the air, this is Barry Fitzgerald, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio?
This is Barry Fitzgerald, and you're listening to Underground Paranormal Radio.
That'll work. We're going to cut that and use it. Thank you.
There we go. Anytime.
So do you have your current book that you wrote with Dustin is called?
It's called The Complete Approach, and that's an insight into the scientific and metaphysical realms, and the connections that we've made between both, to show that our worlds aren't that far apart. The next one, of course, is The Influence, which is a dark insight into the more negative side of the paranormal, how they affect us, and how we can counteract that. And of course, it also describes the manifestation scale. Dustin and I have completed another book, which we're hoping to be out next year, and that is called So My Home Is Haunted, Now What? Of course, that's a look at, so your home has been confirmed to be haunted. It's the follow-up situation. It's a collection of beliefs and faiths from all around the world, and how they would deal with the situation of a home being haunted. We don't sanction any particular belief. That is entirely up to the reader themselves. But it's a great follow-up into those people that are having trouble with their homes, and of course then knowing what can be done about it.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. That's a book that needs to be written. Now, when's Definitely. That coming out, Barry?
We're hoping that's going to be out next spring. We're just having some issues, of course, with our publisher, and who wants to split the book in two. And I'm very adamant in the fact that no, this book needs to be a complete piece.
Mm. Hey, maybe when that comes out, you and Dustin can come back on, and you can share some of the wisdom from that book, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't know what to do once. You know, beyond the ghosts mm-hmm. are there. So
we would certainly love to. And you know, we had a great time interviewing people from all over the world, from the Aborigines down in Australia, to the Zulu in South Africa, and of course Hindus, the Muslims, and Christians. We went through a great band of faiths and beliefs to really bring this book together.
So is there, Barry, is there any, you know, can you give us maybe a preview of what's going to be coming up on GHI?
Yes, they're going to be fantastic shows, and I'm going to be in them.
Okay.
There you have it, folks.
You're straight from the horse's mouth.
There we go. Only on Sci-Fi.
That's right.
Only on Sci-Fi.
Do you have any websites, Barry, that people can go to? I know that you do some photography as well. Where can people go to learn more about you, see your work, that type of thing?
Well, at the moment, I know that I'm getting a lot of traffic through Facebook. And Facebook, although fantastic, I have to say, has been a pain in the backside by limiting me to 5,000 friends. So there's a list of over 1,000 people still waiting to get onto that. So I've opened a fan page. It's Barry Fitzgerald GHI on Facebook, and I see that a couple of thousand have jumped across onto that, You can follow me there. There are some great competitions, of course, that are held every couple of days. You just never know what you could win. If people jump across to my Facebook fan page, that's Barry Fitzgerald GHI, they can follow everything there from the videos to the photography, and of course to what's going on in GHI.
Perfect. I'll be your fan, Barry. You don't even have to give me a prize to let me do it. How's that?
Well, there we go. Fantastic.
All right. Okay, Barry, thank you so much for taking the time to answer our questions.
Thank you, Barry.
Been really great. I've wanted to talk to you for a long time, so this has been fantastic. And guys, we're going to be coming back in just a few minutes, and we're going to be talking to Mindy Kinnaman about some movies. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
This is Karen Frazier, founder of the Namaste Project. Several months ago, I was really struggling with a number of people in my life. I got tired of being angry all of the time. One day I was driving home thinking about how I could stop being angry when the words, the Namaste Project, popped into my head. In that moment, I understood that every person, even the ones who made me angry, had a light of the divine in them, and if I could just find that light in every person I encountered, then my world would be a better place. The Namaste Project was born. Now I'm inviting you to join me. Visit namasteproject.org to learn how you can change your world. Change happens one person at a time. I hope you'll join me. That's namasteproject.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
To Z-Talk Radio Network.
What the heck is that turkey sound?
It's the new one that I'm playing.
God.
I just don't know what to think about that. So Barry was awesome. He rocked it, didn't he?
Yes.
He was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed listening to him. You guys did a good job asking questions. And our chat room had great questions, too. So thanks to everybody.
They had great questions as
questions.
Well.
I'm so excited from Barry that I'm like, I can't even talk.
I know. We have had such a big, huge week. First, we got to talk to Aaron Goodwin, mm-hmm. We're going to play next week, or in 2 weeks. And then we got to talk to Barry. And then next Thursday, we're talking to Britt from Ghost Hunters, right?
Excellent.
Yeah, we're supposed to have Britt Griffith on next Thursday for the show, and I think that that's been confirmed. So after that, we are going to talk to Aaron Goodwin from Ghost Adventures, and then the same show after Aaron, we play Aaron's pre-recorded interview, we'll talk to NWPIA, the paranormal group from Washington.
And in the midst of that just absolutely ridiculously star-spangled lineup, we add one other, and that is Miss Mindy. Hi, Mindy.
Yay.
Hello.
Hey, Mindy.
So you've come to share with us about some movies, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about Devil. It's an M. Night Shyamalan-produced film, and he did come up with the story idea, but it was directed by John Eric Dowdle, and the screenplay was written by Brian Nelson. And for all the M. Night haters, I'm sorry, but I love this film.
Really?
Hmm.
What was lovable about it?
Well, okay, first of all, I'm always nervous when a film is a PG-13 horror movie. I hate PG-13 horror movies. And because they're not scary. And this movie had me wanting to shout out the movie theater screen. And at one point, I actually, even though I normally don't ever do this, I actually yelled a holy crap out loud. It did a wonderful job of just building up the tension. And I guess I should say, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it came out about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it's about a group of people who are on an elevator in an office building, mm-hmm. and they get trapped together, and somebody in there is the devil.
Somebody does what with the devil?
Somebody is the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you said somebody marries the devil.
I was going to say, no, that I already did that a few, years back. Not my current husband. Move along, Mindy. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. This movie actually has some good things going for it. The cinematographer is Tak Fujimoto, who has done some just amazing films over the years. And so he really does a great job of just giving you a beautiful visual presentation. The opening credits are fantastic. They actually are done with the screen upside down, moving across the city of Philadelphia, so you actually kind of get that unnerving feeling from the very beginning. And then adding to the unnerving setting is the music, which is done by Fernando Velasquez, and it's just very dark, kind of filled with those really deep, resonating bass instruments that just get your nerves all worked up. Mm-hmm. And then the film itself just gives you a lot of situations where you know something bad is going to happen, so your tension just starts ramping up, and then they either cut away from it, so you're screaming even more like, oh my God, or it sticks with it, but still doesn't give it to you right away, and so it's dragging out that tension, and you just, like I said, there were times I wanted so badly to scream at the screen because of how anxious it got me, and I really, really appreciate films that do that.
I'll be darned, because I haven't felt that way about, one of the things that I miss about films is that books and movies used to scare the crap out of me, and I haven't experienced one for a long time that has, so will this one?
I'm the same way. It's very rare that a movie scares the crap out of me. And this one worked for me. I mean, it may not work for everyone, but it definitely worked for me. And so I would definitely tell people to go out and see this, mm-hmm. because to me it was a nice change. And I don't want to say it has the M. Night Shyamalan patented twist, but there are enough twists and turns in the movie that I felt really satisfied walking out of the theater. And I think what also helped it is while you have a lot of familiar faces actor and actress-wise, they're not big-name Hollywood stars. They're people who have played bit roles in other films, and I think that actually helps it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just it works so well for me. I feel like I'm gushing about it, but it's
you really, are. It's you're all okay. All the flutter.
It really is the first time in a while that I've seen a movie, a horror movie, in theaters and just walked away feeling wow.
Okay, so here's my question for you. Because I probably wouldn't yell holy crap. I would probably yell something else and get kicked out of the theater. So how far into the movie will I be able to get before I'm escorted out?
It's toward the end. It's actually the big reveal.
Okay.
Like there's a little bit more that happens after that that keeps it going, but that holy crap moment is toward the end.
Okay, so will I have it all figured out before I get kicked out then?
You know, I didn't figure it out. I didn't see the end of this one coming.
Oh, I like that.
You have an idea of how things, and somebody else may, like I said, it may not be for everyone. But to me, it was kind of like Sixth Sense, where I didn't see that one coming either. And so it works for me really well. But there's a little bit of wrap up. And it, depending on how quickly your ushers respond, if they're slow, you'll get enough to see the end of the movie. If they're fast, then yeah.
Well, I might also keep some items for throwing, like jujubes or something that may delay it a little longer, too. So I should be okay.
Well, and you know what I needed? I needed something to clutch onto. Like, when I'm sitting at home, I'll, like, have a blanket, and, you know, I can clutch onto that or a pillow.
Right.
And I needed, like, a sweatshirt or something because, like, my hands were, like, in fits and, like, crossed around my chest because I was just, like, so tense. And I'm just, like, it does such a good job of building it. Like I said, I'm gushing because I really love this film. And I think it helped, like I said, it helps that while M. Night came up with the story and he produced it, he's not directing or he did not write the full screenplay. And so you get the heart of, you know, my absolute favorite M. Night film. So you get, like, Sixth Sense and Signs, but you don't get the predictability that some of his films tended to take on. And then just some of the... Yeah.
I got to tell you, when we went to see Signs, I went to see Signs in the theater with Jim, with my husband. And he is so unflappable.
What?
And he actually jumped in the middle of that movie.
Rick, are you saying you don't like that movie?
You didn't like Signs?
No, I didn't like Signs, and I definitely don't like Mel Gibson.
Signs?
I don't like Mel Gibson either.
I love Signs.
I was like the husband. I was yelling and screaming at the screen, and like, the big ending, my friend and I screamed so loud that everyone in the theater laughed. We were like their comic relief.
I did like Sixth Sense. Go ahead, Rick, sorry.
I was just going to say, do you know what movie made me scream my head off? Spice World. How did that movie ever get made?
Is that like about the Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God, they made a movie about that?
Yeah, Spice World.
I own it. I'm like one of five people in the world who own it. So maybe that explains me so much.
I don't even know where to go from there. Holy crap. So, the movies that Rick owns that he doesn't admit is he has all of the Twilight movies.
You do not own those.
No, I'm a 36-year-old guy. I pretty much stay away from anything dealing with Twilight.
So
the good news is there are no sparkling vampires in this. So
thank God.
And they don't make the devil anything weird. You know, like I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Okay, so do you have any other movies you want to talk about? Anything you've seen on video or anything? Or should we go to the lightning round? Whatever you want to do, Mindy, you're in charge.
I'm trying to think offhand. Unfortunately, as you guys know, I just recently moved, and I'm trying to think if I've seen any horror movies since then.
Did you see Resident Evil, the new one?
I have not.
I didn't get to see
it. And I worry that I may have missed it in theaters. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I wanted to see that one, too, because I enjoy the other three films.
Well, maybe I'll go see that one. I actually have seen some M. Night Shyamalan movies, Rick. I've seen movies. Can you believe it?
I am shocked and awed and dismayed, yes.
But have not seen Spice World. So, Mindy, you willing to stick around and do a lightning round?
Sure, why not?
See, that's what I like about you. Even though you just got the fighting spirit. So I have to tell you guys, nobody is prepared with the lightning round questions this evening because I came up with them 5 minutes before we came on the air. So nobody has pre-thought out their answers tonight. So Chad, are you popping back on for the, is Chad popping back on for the lightning round, Cheryl?
Yeah, he's popping back on now.
Okay, so are you there, Chad? Chad. Are you sure he's popping back on for the lightning round? I know we're not as interesting to talk to as Barry Fitzgerald, but come on.
Hey, I am. I don't know about you, Karen.
Yeah. Oh, you're here. All right, here we go, guys. Lightning.
Had all this stuff going at one time. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, first question. The scientists have discovered a new species of fish, and it actually suckles its young. So, with all of the new with all of the new discoveries of different animals and things, do you think that cryptids are outside of the realm of possibility? Or, you know, is it a stretch? And if they aren't a stretch, then how come they're not showing up, especially things like Bigfoot, on game cameras? Let's start with Rick.
Actually, that's not true. There have been a couple anomalous pictures that do look like, a bipedal hominid on trap cameras, especially with the skunk ape down in Florida. There have been a few. Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Okay, all right. Well, I have a game camera, so I'm going to have to put it up. So, Mindy, what do you think? Did we lose me? Oh, there she is.
I'm here, sorry. I'm thinking. I'm that's not good for radio.
No thinking allowed.
I do think it's still possible, just because, I mean, we are constantly discovering new things. I can't remember the exact number. But it's a pretty substantial number of things that are discovered every single day. And while we have expanded across this country, there are still some pretty remote areas. So I'm up thinking anything's possible.
All right, that works. So Cheryl, who's not last in my queue tonight, what do you think?
I'm not last, yay.
I know.
I definitely think there are cryptids out there that we still need to discover. And the reasons why maybe they haven't been photographed more often, I don't know. Maybe they just have a way of avoiding it. Maybe they can affect the equipment. I'm not sure. But I think there's just too many eyewitness accounts for it not to be possible.
One has to wonder why they don't show up on Google Earth. I'm just saying. So, Chad, what do you think?
I think they somehow are almost like ghosts. They're like maybe they're on another plane of existence, and every once in a while we are able to catch glimpses of.
I have heard that interdimensional theory before. Mm-hmm. I find that a really interesting theory. I have no basis for it, but I think it's an interesting theory.
The Goblin universe.
Yeah.
So you guys have to totally bear with me on this because I actually hand wrote my questions tonight and I can't read my own writing. Because apparently I'm so used to typing things that, it's pretty sad. If you were here, you would see that it looks like a prescription as opposed to actual questions. So NASA has discovered lost footage of Neil Armstrong descending from Apollo 11 onto the moon. Here's what I want to know. Does that mean that the moon landing wasn't faked, Mindy?
I don't think it was faked. I have to giggle when I hear that because I think it was him who recently punched somebody in the face for saying that he faked the moon landing. And I don't know, I think that's a pretty extreme reaction for somebody if they faked it.
Yeah, good point. What do you think, Rick?
I definitely don't think it was faked either. I think it's really disrespectful to our greatest American heroes to say that they faked it.
Where did that theory come from?
Yeah, it's some nutty conspiracy theorist.
I guess so.
No, actually, you know what? Now, it does. Okay, there was a rumor going around that during the moon landing, some guys on ham radios were listening to their ham radios, and that they were like near the California desert or whatever, and they claimed that they actually picked up Neil Armstrong and these other guys talking back and forth to each other about how they're faking this and they don't feel right about it. But also on the other side of it, there's another conspiracy theory that states that we did in fact go to the moon, and while on the moon, we made contact with alien beings. So either way, you can't win.
Okay. So, Cheryl, what do you think?
I think we went to the moon. I think I also read that some of these conspiracy theories revolve around some photos of the moon landing and how there's absence of stars, or there's the shadows the wrong way. And, you know, maybe they took those shots. You know, I think they were saying that the shots were taken in the desert, which kind of goes along with Rick's other story about the radio. You know, maybe the photos were, you know, doctored up after the fact. But I definitely think that we went to the moon.
Well, photos were a lot harder to doctor up back then than they are now. You know, Photoshop wasn't exactly.
Yeah, they're pretty basic photos, though. It's not anything. Yeah, it's not anything that they couldn't have done. But
Chad.
Well, I think they had to wait for George Lucas and Industrial Light and Magic to be able to develop the technology to shoot a film that would actually look like.
And that's his lost footage, huh?
Yeah, that's the lost footage.
So who could they have play? Well, you can get somebody to play anybody, I suppose.
Probably got Harrison Ford playing one of the astronauts.
Awesome. So since we're talking about nutty conspiracy theories, do you have any that you believe, or do you have any favorites, Rick?
Yeah, my favorite is the reptilians are taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite. And you believe it?
No.
Oh, Mindy, what's your favorite conspiracy theory?
Well, I do think that one's quite hilarious, but I remember it was one of the first stories I wrote back when we first started Paranormal Underground magazine, and we had a spirituality and UFO conference here in Kansas City, and I interviewed a guy who is convinced that Mars looks exactly like Earth, and that NASA and the government are lying to us because we would be way too freaked out knowing that there was another planet just like ours.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I
like that one. I've never heard. Well, I probably read it when it first came out, but wow, that's a good one. So, Chad, how about you?
Well, mine is the 12th planet, Nibiru. It's supposed to rotate around the Earth every 25,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it rotates around the Earth.
Around the sun, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
And when it comes around, it's supposed to basically cause cataclysmic things to happen here on the Earth, which wipes out civilization and puts us back in the Dark Ages. And yeah.
And so that's probably what happened to Atlantis.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Zechariah Sitchin is the one who writes about that.
Okay, so do you believe it?
No. Okay. I mean, you would think I would have seen it by now.
I would think. So, Cheryl, how about you? Conspiracy theory.
Well, the one that bothers me the most is not paranormal nature. They're the ones surrounding September 11th being orchestrated by the U.S. government.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's, you know, as far as bothering me, that's probably the one that stands out. I think
Bothers you because you, in what way?
Well, you know, what was that show that actually covered it? My son loves the show. It's called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
Is that the show? Yeah. They actually did an episode about that, and they seemed to have found evidence that led to people believing that our government here in the U.S. was behind it, the whole September 11th.
Yeah, and it's also known as the loose change theory because there was a movie, an entire movie that came out called Loose Change about it.
Well, I guess, what bothers me is if it's true.
Well, so, I think it's kind of disrespectful, the theory itself, but if it's true.
Yeah. Well, that's actually been Popular Mechanics a few years back actually did something debunking that theory. So, I don't know. I'm sure you can still search the Popular Mechanics article and you can read up on it and, you know, see if you believe what Popular Mechanics says. And then the other show that's about it is called Loose Change, and that's out there available for free on the internet. It's kind of interesting to watch. So,
Rick's theory.
Next question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
I was going to say.
Did you have something, Cheryl?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as scariest to me, it's the reptilian one, what Rick was talking about. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what? I could be a reptilian and just trying to, you know, take everybody away from it. You know?
That's why your name is first on the intro.
Reptilian.
I knew it. You brainwashed Karen.
I think my dog is a reptilian.
Okay, so my next question is in honor of tomorrow being the start of October. I mentioned at the top of the show that I'm not actually a big Halloween fan. And so, but I still want to know, how do you guys celebrate Halloween? Do you do anything special, Rick?
I sacrifice virgins.
Awesome. Okay. How about you, Mindy?
Now that I no longer have to work on this day, I go trick-or-treating with my nieces and nephews, and then my sister and I then try to neighborhood children.
Ah, very good. Cheryl?
Yeah, we do. We have a little ritual, and it involves one of Chad's favorite things to do, which is watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
This is a G-rated show, Missy.
I wasn't even going there, Karen.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
Nightmare Before Christmas. That's what yeah, it goes on the screen on Halloween. Yes.
So is that yours also, Chad, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I need lots of candy.
Awesome.
Sugar coma.
All right, next question. So I have this long-standing problem with Microsoft products, which is why I am a Mac user and not a PC user. However, out of necessity for some of the freelancing projects I do, I have to have Microsoft Office. It keeps crashing my Mac. And what I want to know is, why do you think that Bill Gates is out to get me, Mindy?
Because he's mad Steve Jobs didn't give him an iPod and didn't teach him how to be a ninja.
Okay, Rick, why does Bill Gates hate me?
Because he's a reptilian.
Oh, dang! Snap! Oh,
there
snap.
You go.
Is that what you say? Oh, snap.
Snap.
Cheryl?
Because he can.
Yeah, okay. Chad, what the heck is Bill Gates' problem?
I thought he was retired.
Bill Gates Sr.?
There's a Bill Gates Jr.?
Is he a clone?
Somebody had sex with that guy?
No, Bill Gates Sr. is Bill Gates' father. And then Bill Gates, he's from out here, so, you know.
Bill Gates is the money man.
Yeah, Microsoft dude.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so next question. Last question, because we got to wrap it up here. So a survey recently showed that atheists and agnostics seem to know more about religion than believers do. And I just want to know, what, Mindy?
I'm not surprised. Because a lot of us, because I am an agnostic, a lot of us went through formalized religion, and then we just started to notice some things that sound a little crazy. And because some Christians are really, let's say, really adamant about the things that they believe, we have to know what we're talking about in order to defend ourselves.
Okay, fair enough. Rick?
Well, you know, for example, I think, you know, I've heard that Jesus is the God of the Republican Party. So, I mean, you know, he fed the poor, clothed the naked, raised the dead, and was nice to women. Guess who wasn't a Republican? You know, most people who are religious really don't know square one about their own religion. So that's what I think.
Yeah. Okay. Cheryl?
Who did this survey or study or whatever?
I don't know who did this study. I wish I could tell you that. I looked, but I was running late.
Because that just sounds a little odd to me. I mean, I'm not religious per se, and I don't have a whole lot of knowledge about it. I do have a few friends who are really religious, and they seem to be knowledgeable, but I don't know what to say about that.
You can find the article on unexplainedmistries.com.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I'll
check it out.
I was going to say, it was on CNN and on Yahoo, too.
Okay, so it's big news. So, Chad, same question to you. What?
I think they have to basically look up and find out all they can about these religions so they can argue their point. And then when somebody from the religion spouts out something that doesn't make any sense, they can tell them that they're stupid and don't even know their own religion, which is usually their argument. So.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So that's it. I have no more questions. I made it through my own horrible, horrible handwriting. I'm summarizing now. We had a great show with Barry. Mindy talked about the devil. Devil. Not the devil. Devil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more of Mindy, give us your website / podcast, Mindy.
Sure. It's The Devil and Miss Mindy, and that's on iTunes. Or you can go to thedevilandmissmindy.podbean.com.
The Devil in Miss Mindy? I think I saw a porn called that.
Yeah, and A-N-D, not I-N.
And just a heads up, with Halloween coming up, we are going to do a month full of horror movies as soon as I am internet capable again.
Sweet! Okay, fantastic. And next week we are going to be talking to Britt Griffiths from Ghost Hunters. So,
can't wait.
Until next week. Bye, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.
There's something in your mind you cannot hide. You can try everything, you'll be high in the end. There's something on your cheek, it's blowing like a creek. Are there tears, or just dying memories? You keep doing what you do. You are the stolen thief. Keep seeing what you say, but remember that everywhere you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. Maybe you think the people would fall into your traps, but look better around you, there's nothing but your lies. You're lost in your own mind without no compass. You can try to pinch yourself and wake up fast. Keep doing what you do, but at any way, you are the stolen thief. Keep seeing what you say, we're beaming blood out everywhere. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. What you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. I keep saying what you say, but remember that anyway. the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend.